Galatians chapter number 5. I want to draw your attention tonight. A great battle is going on. Now there's a battle in heaven between the old devil and the God of heaven over us. The Bible says in Revelation 12, Satan is there accusing the brethren. Most people think he's in hell. He's not. He's there trying to accuse us. So there's a battle there. There's a battle on earth with all of the demons of hell trying to bring about a one world concept, less worship, preparing for the old devil to come, the Antichrist. Battle going on there. But there's also a battle spoken of in Galatians. And I want to just draw your attention to that tonight. The first five chapters, or first four chapters of Galatians up to verse 13 are really about settling salvation by grace and kept by the power of God. Those two things. In other words, the Old Testament law is a guide. It is something to be referred to. It is something to remember. It is something, if you have a question, you can go back to. But it is not a method to get to heaven. And so in verse 13, he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." What liberty? Christ has saved you, set you free. Now you have a choice. And herein is the battle. If you have your Bible, notice if you would, it says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Okay? Young people, don't, because you have the name that you have, Shenouda, Lawrence, Devane, don't say, "Well, nobody can take my name away from me, so I can do what I want to." And so, because Jesus Christ has saved you and given you the name Christian, child of God, don't live however you want to, even though the choice is yours. Now, if you have your Bible, turn back to Romans chapter 7. I want you to see this passage. Paul spoke of this battle that's going on in the clearest of terms of Scripture. Notice, if you would, in verse 15. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. "For that which I would," that's what I want to do, "I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." So he says, I don't want to do wrong, but I just do it sometimes. And that which I want to do, which is right, I want to forgive, I want to love somebody, I don't. So then he gives a little bit better. And look at verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," and this is the battle tonight, the flesh and the devil against the spirit. Notice, "dwelleth no good thing." Now, we are taught that we're pretty good people and that, we're good and you don't let anybody tell you that you're not good. But really, we're sinners. And that sin comes from the flesh. And so you notice he says, "no good dwelleth in me. For to will, the want to, is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not." I just don't seem to have the wherewithal to do what I know is good. So then notice, if you would, verse 19. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking. You can hear the battle that's going on in his heart. It's in all of our hearts. It's the flesh against the spirit. You didn't get the spirit until you got saved. That is why man is in such turmoil that he turns to the things that satisfy the flesh. Love, money, sexual things, immorality, covetousness, alcohol, drugs. It's because those are the desires of the flesh, and that's the only way they can be satisfied. This, once we get saved, we get a new spirit, this new nature. And now there's a battle that goes on. God doesn't take away the old nature, but he helps us to cause the old nature to die. If you choose not to take care of something, it'll die. It will deteriorate. If you don't take care of your house, it'll fall down around you after a while. If you don't change oil in your car, I remember hearing a man, a grown man, probably 40 years old, a salesman. He said, I was driving my car and the other day, actually it is a car that I bought brand new. I use it as a sales car and I drive a lot of miles a year. Matter of fact, I think he said it was 53,000 miles on it and it just quit. It went and quit. And they towed it to the shop and said, what's wrong with it? He said, well, did you ever change the oil? There's no oil in it. He said, oil? What do you mean oil? No, I don't change oil. Well, if you don't take care of something, it's going to die. And here's a grown man that didn't know to change his oil. And so he didn't change the oil for 53,000 miles. So let me just say this to you. If you decide not to change your oil, you got about 49 to 50,000 miles. And then you better get you an Uber phone number so you can get home. Okay? Because you never know when it's going to die. But my mind, and I'm thinking about this, if you take care of the flesh and you maintain the flesh, it's going to get stronger. If you take care of the spirit, we're going to talk about that tonight. The flesh can die slowly. So in other words, if you fight against getting bitter towards someone and you fight to love someone, to forgive, you get stronger at forgiveness. You get stronger at grace. And this begins to fade away. So the Apostle Paul is saying, look toward liberty, the things that you can do. Don't look back and say, I'm not supposed to lie, cheat, and steal. Look toward the things you can do. I can love and care and pray for people. And the things that are negative, you turn around. The things that are sinful, the flesh begins to say, what about me? And you say, I'm not interested in you anymore. And so the flesh begins to sort of get weaker and weaker and weaker. And that's the battle of the Christian. And if we ever go over there and yield to the flesh, it gets stronger immediately. So notice, if you would, in verse number 21. This is Romans 7:21. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Well, either you bring your thoughts into captivity or the flesh will bring you into captivity. It's one of the two. And therein why you're happily married for a few years and all of a sudden you begin to treat each other differently because the old flesh begins to take over. First you wanted to give and now you want to get. And so things begin to change. Now notice, if you would, in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now Paul was sort of referring back to a Roman way of death, a Roman punishment. If someone murdered somebody, many times they would take that dead body and strap it to their body until that dead body's disease and corruption killed the person that killed them. It was a horrible way to die. And Paul refers back and says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Speaking of that way in Rome where they would punish someone. And notice, if you would, verse 25, the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I serve the law of God. That's what I want to do. I think about doing what's right. I choose to do what's right. And I serve the law of God, both the flesh, the law of sin. So the battle is raging here. And so he says, look, you have Christian liberty. So choose to live in freedom from sin and choose to serve the Lord. Now look over chapter 6 and you'll see exactly the same thing. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin because we've been set free? We have liberty in the Christian life. He says that grace may abound. Do we just go ahead and do that which we want because we know God's going to give us grace? The answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Now that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Being dead to sin. If you have your Bible, turn back to Galatians 5. And notice with me if you would. Verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a couple things about walking with the Spirit. Number one, Lord, I want to give you my thoughts. I'll bring every thought captive to you. Step number one of walking in the Spirit. Number two, dear Holy Spirit, I yield to you to guide my life. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And you'll notice a passage of Scripture. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, now watch this, Jesus is saying to the disciples, before he dies, now watch this, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. The Christian life is about us learning things that are harder as we go along. How many of you know what mathematics is in first grade? Okay, we have a first grade teacher. Give me some of the math that you get in first grade. Like, tell me some of the things that you do in first grade.
Something like, if you have six butterflies and three fly away, how many do you have left?
Okay. If you've got six butterflies, and let's say two of them fly away, how many do you have left? So, addition and subtraction. Okay? Now, let's say you get into the seventh and eighth grade, and you start with pre-algebra. It's a little different. Okay, you couldn't handle pre-algebra in the first grade unless you're Einstein. And I don't see any Einsteins out here, okay? And so all of a sudden now you get to be a junior or senior and now you're taking, physics. You're getting concepts that are really way out there. And so a first grader can't handle the things of a 12th grader. All right, now follow with me. So as you grow in the Christian life, the Holy Spirit guides you. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Jesus said, I could teach you some things today, but I don't think you would understand them. I don't think they would make sense to you. How is it that Jesus couldn't teach us some things, but the Holy Spirit can? Because once we've been saved and we begin to make the choice, I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. I want to walk with you. The Holy Spirit is always with us. When Jesus was teaching, he was not always in their hearts. They had to stay close to him. And you remember they went in this morning's message. They went into town to get some food. They come back out and he said, oh, they said, we got some food for you. And he says, I got meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, who fed him while we were gone? They didn't have the ability to grow in Christ like we do today because the Holy Spirit's in our heart. He lives in our heart. He lives. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Greek word for guide here is to show you the way. He will show you the way. Now, let's take just a minute. How many of you ever had a flashlight in your hand and you had to fix something with both hands? Okay, there's a problem. So you try to sit the flashlight down. Now they got some with magnets on it. So you can find a piece of metal and put it on, okay? So you find a piece of metal, turn it down there and you do it. So now they come with this idea of a headlamp. Almost all the guys out at the property working have got these headlamps on. And so they're working there. I mean, they're just working up there, screwing in the sheetrock. They're screwing in ceiling tile. I mean, they've got the grids for it. I mean, they've just got these lights on their head. The Holy Spirit is that beam that guides you into all truth. And until you get saved, you don't have the light to guide you. He takes the Word of God and explains it to you. And many times, how many have been reading your Bible this year and you came across something that you read a few years ago, but this year you understood it, last year you didn't? How many have ever had that happen to you? Or something just kind of, it's called illumination. The Holy Spirit illumines us, and it's because of the circumstances in our life. And now, oh, now I understand that. But somebody that's just gotten saved may not understand all of those things. And so someone that has been saved for 20 or 30 years ought to understand forgiveness at the highest level. They ought to understand there's nothing somebody can do to you that you don't forgive. But boy, I tell you, when you've just gotten saved and somebody does something to you, it's hard to understand that forgiveness, the forgiveness of Christ. It's hard to understand love your wife as Christ loved the church when you just first get saved, because you don't understand how much Christ loved you. But as you grow in Christ and you begin to say, wow, what a sinner am I, and yet he forgives me, and boy, I seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. You know, that's the death knell of a marriage. Over and over and over and over and over and over. How does Jesus forgive us? Over and over and over and over and over and over. He does. He says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from the first three iniquities. Is that what it says? From the first six iniquities. From all sin. You see, that is a spiritual truth that we have to grow a little bit before we can look back in somebody and say, I forgive them for ruining my life. Lord, I'll trust you. Paul had to look at Demas for leaving and say, I forgive him. He had to look at various ones that tried to ruin him and say, I've forgiven them. Paul had to learn to grow and to forgive people that beat him and to say, I want to see them saved. Many of us, we're still trying to figure out how to let the Holy Spirit lead us. So he said, he will guide you into all truth, but you have to allow that. A horse is only good if he yields to the reins. If he doesn't yield to the reins, he's not of much value. If all of a sudden you want him to go right and he wants to go left, he's bigger than you. And you're not going to control him. I mean, I remember riding my horse and being a wet day, going toward the barn. How many have ever heard turned a horse toward the barn? Well, you have to be careful, because when you turn the horse toward the barn, or you've kept cattle away from water and you open the gate, they will run over you because they're trying to get to the water. They don't have self-control. And so a horse, when he gets turned toward the barn and he sees the barn, he's going to go to the barn. It takes a horse that's been well trained to say, not me, my master. And they'll guide and lead all over the place when he says, there's a barn over there. I know, but I want you to go over here. But the barn's over there. And it takes a while for you and I as Christians to say, Lord, there's lust over there. I know, but I want you to do what's right. Yeah, but Lord, look at that over there. And it's I want you to stay here and do what I want you to forgive. Yeah, but you see what they did to me. I want you to forgive. Yeah, but you see what they did to me. I want to make some money. Yeah, but you see the flesh and the battle that goes on. When you first get saved, many times we're just not strong enough to do what's right in areas where we've had weakness in the past. So what we do is we say, I'm going to yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And you have to do it every day. Pick up your cross. Now follow with me and follow me. What does the cross do? It kills us. Take your Bible and turn with you into Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Now this is a part of yielding to the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are on earth. Somebody tell me what mortify means. Anybody know what mortify means? Put to death. Put to death. So you put to death your anger. When it comes up, put it to death. No. Lust comes up, television show, magazine, your cell phone, computer, no. Covetousness comes up, no. You begin to say no to those things. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn back to Galatians. Now, let's notice what he says. I think we have to learn to say no first and then yes. Now, follow with me. What order? Verse 16, this I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he gives us the flesh first. Things that we've got to be aware of. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It's battle against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. It's a capital Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's trying to guide us into all truth. And the old devil in the flesh, and the old devil works through the flesh. He's the one trying to get us, with our own flesh, trying to get us to go our own way. So notice he says, these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Exactly what Paul said. I don't seem to do the things that I want to do. And why is that? Because our flesh is against the Spirit. So there's one decision we have to make every day. We have to get up in the morning and say, Lord, dear Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Every day. Pick up your cross and follow me. Put to death the flesh. Now you don't have to go back and enumerate all the things that you might see that day. Then you turn and notice if you would. Let's go through verse number 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So as long as you walk yielding yourself to Holy Spirit, you're not concerned about the things you don't do. You're just concerned about the things you want to do. Dear Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me think right. Lord, help me to talk right. You know, the last time I thought about, you know, I don't want to curse today. I don't know when I ever had that thought. It's been 50 years. Because I want the flesh to die in that part. Dirty jokes. I want the flesh to die in that part. Pornography. I want the flesh to die. So I focus on the Lord. I focus on walking in the Spirit. And those things don't come up. But if I sat down and said, what would I like to do? An idle mind is devil's workshop. You know why? Because you sit down and you haven't yielded your mind to the Holy Spirit. You can't do that in this life. You constantly have to yield your mind to say, Lord, I want to think like you want me to. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ is the secret to allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to feed the flesh and the flesh is going to win. And you're going to be a fake and a phony Christian. Because the flesh is winning. Now notice if you look down in verse number 19. Now these are the works of the flesh. Which are these? Sexual sins first. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then some personal sins against the Lord. Idolatry, witchcraft. Hatred. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Okay, and then notice these lustful sins. Envyings, murders. Ever thought, well, I'd like to murder that guy. I don't mean literally we don't say that. But somebody does something and we just like to pay them back. Well, that's about as far as it goes. I've never thought of anybody in this room I'd like to murder. Because that's the flesh. After you've dwelt there for a while. The Spirit causes you to have a clean mind, a clean heart. It gives you victory. And you don't look back and say, oh, I can't lie anymore. I don't want to do that. I want to tell the truth. I want to do what's right. So the more you give your mind to the Holy Spirit, the more you say to your Holy Spirit, search me if there's anything I'm doing that's wrong, like David did, and I give you my mind, help me to pick up my cross today and follow you. You're walking in the Spirit. But it takes a lot of guts, and it takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of determination to go all day long and say, Lord, today, this day, I'm going to dedicate my life to you. I'm going to think the thoughts you want me to. But that is when we have victorious Christian living. Day after day after day. But the old devil won't give up. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch what he's trying to tell you. What's the fruit of saving and not spending all your money in 30, 40 years? You have a big nest egg. Okay? That's the fruit of saving. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. You don't look at it and say, well, I'm going to save. I saved $300 this month and I put it back. You don't think about that. But you add that to percentages and maybe you put it in the market and it makes 10% that year, and a few years later, and all of a sudden you turn it back and that $300 is $500. Wow. That's not much. And that's what we struggle in. We don't think we've grown very much because we only put back $500. But when you put back $500 or $300 for 20 years, then all of a sudden you look back and you say, wow. Wow. There's something there. And so the Christian has got a lifetime of testimony of doing what's right. And when you make a mistake and spend and you shouldn't on something yourself, you're not ruined because you've been doing right for a long time. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, would forgive me. You begin to build a testimony. You begin to build a life of walking right. It's victorious Christian living. And there's fruit of the Spirit. What is that fruit? What is the benefit of walking in the Spirit? One, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, I don't love people like I want. Well, that's whenever you begin to yield your mind to the Lord and walk in the Spirit, and all of a sudden you begin to love people. Notice the next thing. Joy. Well, I'm a little miserable. You got to walk in the Spirit a while, and fruit will come. Some fruit is pretty quick. Some fruit takes time. One thing that used to bother me was my grandfather would go, and it was in the spring of the year, and we would put seeds in the ground. We'd put watermelon seeds. They would be in piles. And we'd put cantaloupe seeds in piles. And we would put green beans in a row. And we'd put corn in a row. And so, you know, I could go out there. We planted them last week. It rained. And I'd go out there and look after it rained. And nothing. A month, nothing. And my grandfather would look at me and I'd say, Granddad, I don't see nothing out there from all the work we did. He said, be patient, grandson. It'll come up. And I said, well, how do you know it'll come up? That's the way God made things. If you plant consistently, God will always bring it up. If you plant goodness, if you plant obedience to the Holy Spirit, good things are going to come up in your life. Somebody's going to do something to you and you're going to say, oh, that's all right. Hey, it's forgiven. Don't worry about it. You look in the mirror and say, how did I do that? Used to, I'd like to punch the guy. What happened? Fruit of the Spirit started to come out. Now, you'll notice this. It doesn't all of a sudden that watermelon plant comes out and you watch it and it just kind of works its way through the ground. It's a little green thing. It's not much. But you give it about a couple of months and all of a sudden that thing is all over the place. I mean, it just grows in all kinds of directions. And then you see a little bitty thing like that and I'll say, hey, Granddad, what's that? He'll say, that's your watermelon. I said, but it's not big enough yet. Give it some time. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. And now listen very carefully. I know a lot of husbands and wives that didn't give the Holy Spirit time to work on their mate. And I noticed this. A lot of mates didn't yield to the Holy Spirit either. I know a lot of brothers and sisters didn't yield to the Holy Spirit. A lot of church members didn't yield to the Holy Spirit. And so the fruit's not there. If you be led of the Spirit, the fruit is going to come. You just have to be steady with it. Notice what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, trust in the Lord. I'm telling you this. There's no way in the world would ever gotten through these buildings with me trying to be a part of it 40 years ago. Because I wanted everything to get done right then. And if somebody came up to me and said, look, I remember one time I wanted gas to my house. And I think preparation is there. Electric is so expensive 40 years ago. And I wanted gas to my house. And so I called the gas company and says, why don't you have gas in this neighborhood? Whole neighborhood didn't have gas lines. I said, why is that? They said, because somebody's got to put up the money. I said, what do you mean? Every person in the neighborhood's got to put up something like $500 or something like that. Pay a simple fee to let us know that they're going to use the gas. Then what if I went around to everybody in the neighborhood and got everybody to put in $500? Then we'll put gas in your neighborhood. I said, well, that's pretty simple. So I started going around in my neighborhood. You want gas? Sure I do. You want gas? Yeah, sure I do. Got everybody lined up. Called them. They said, okay, we'll put out gas in the neighborhood. And so we all paid our money. Sure enough, they did. And I said, man, I'm not doing that again. That took forever. That was dumb. So you know what? I never again got another neighborhood that had electric only. How many remember all electric homes, all electric areas? I see one hand. I guess I'm dating myself or two. But gas was cheaper. Okay? So I said, I want gas. And I said, you know, I'm not going to do that again. There are a lot of things in my life 30, 40 years ago I wasn't willing to do. It was too hard. It took too long. I wouldn't have been a good farmer. Because I wanted to put the watermelon seed in the ground, go out there the next day, and have it be about that high. And so maybe at the end of the week I could get a watermelon. I would have been a terrible farmer. You know what I like to do? Go to Walmart. I go to Walmart and look out there. There, it's got watermelons. Oh, look, they've got avocados. And I just pick them up, put them in my bag, and walk off. No one thinks about all the time that farmer took growing that avocado. And you know what? Christians that walk in the Spirit are different. They are in the image of Christ because the Holy Spirit will make you that if you decide to walk in the Spirit. Have we decided to walk in the Spirit? Put to death the things of the flesh. Look to Christ and say, I want to yield my mind to you, every thought to your Holy Spirit. Guide me. He will show you the way. John 16:13. And the day after day after day after day, you begin to form good habits. Good habits multiply. Good habits bring forth fruit. Good habits bring forth a peace in your heart. When you pay your bills, you know what a FICO score is? It's simply good habits. That you decided to pay your bills consistently, you developed a good reputation with all the banks, and they'll loan you money at a lower rate. But you didn't get that when you got out of school. You had to grow into that. Christian, notice what he says. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No one is mad at you when you're meek and self-controlled. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. You can't get it and keep it yourself. The flesh cannot do that. The Spirit can. You can't love your parents every day and obey them without learning to walk in the Spirit. Oh, you might because they're bigger than you. but to yield your heart and to be a sweet son or daughter and to be a pleasing to your Heavenly Father only by the Spirit. Notice the last verse, verse 24. But they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know what it's saying? It's an expectation of every Christian that you'll crucify your flesh. Notice if you would, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Look, let's walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? You yield your mind to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, I'll bring every thought captive to you. And we look at the Holy Spirit and say, would you guide me? And you don't have to worry about it except when the flesh pokes its head up. No. Three things. Here's my mind, thoughts. I'll follow you, Holy Spirit. No. If you do those three things, you'll be walking in the Spirit. And you give it a year or two or three months, weeks, people will notice the difference. Love, joy, come pretty quickly. Long suffering takes a while. But love and joy, pretty quick. Gentleness, takes a while. But listen to this one. Goodness is pretty quick. Faith, well, that takes a while. So the fruit comes quicker in some ways. The Lord gives us incentives. Today, are you walking in the Spirit? He saved you, gives you liberty that you can choose to say, I want to follow the Lord. And then he brings forth fruit in your life. And you become a city set on a hill. And people say, I want to be like that. But that doesn't happen just because you come to church. It doesn't happen because you read your Bible. Those are a part of the Holy Spirit's guidance. But you have to first say, Lord, here's my thoughts and minds. I give them to you. That's your dreams. You can't say, I want this dream, and Lord, I'll give my thoughts to you. The dreams go with it. And then you can't say, dear Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. But I want to do this today. You're all in or you're all out. If you're right in the middle, you're a lukewarm Christian. Does anybody know what the Lord said about a lukewarm Christian in Romans, Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3? I'll spew you out. He wants us all in. Where are the Christians tonight to say, I want to follow the Spirit of God. Guide me. Show me the way. Now I'll follow. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer and just stand to sing. I'll ask Brother Brandon to lead us in the verse of 635, I've decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you come to this altar tonight. So, Lord, I do want to follow you. I want to yield my thoughts to you this week. Why don't you start following the Spirit this week? Let him guide you. Everybody in this room can do it. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.